My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. And when I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about maybe planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you think that Test Track is something that Matt Hancock would talk about. Well, then this definitely is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories and their top tips from Walt Disney World. And this week, Bea gives us some great insight into food allergies at Disney.
And then the chef would come out straight away and ask me what the allergy was. And then quite often they'd bring the menu over and talk me through stuff, which was really helpful.
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks. And if you're heading over to Orlando soon, fingers crossed, everything you need to know. Make sure you keep in touch as well. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are at Pod Magical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Here to answer your Walt Disney World planning questions every week. I'll do my best. I'm not a travel agent. I'm not an industry professional. But when it comes to help and advice, I have been to Walt Disney World quite a few times. Emma wants to know, we're looking at cutting costs. What really is the difference and how is it to fly indirect? So I'm guessing you mean either flying from the UK to somewhere like Atlanta and then getting your connecting flight from Atlanta to Orlando. I've only done the, I prefer to go direct. Coming back, I don't think it's too bad because on your return flight, you'll check into Orlando, you'll check your suitcases in, and then you'll pick them up in the UK, whether it's Manchester or Heathrow or wherever you're going to be. They just get checked through. However, when you are flying out, when you're flying to America, the first place you stop, you've got to go through customs and immigration, and that can take quite a while. So you've got to collect your suitcase once you get off your first flight and go through customs and immigration, then pick it up and then check it in again to get on your other flight to Orlando. And that can be a little bit of a pain. Yes, it can save you a lot of money. It depends how much time and how much patience you've got, related to how much money you're going to save. Somebody else as well asked me, this is just reminding me, asked me about flying into Ireland, because you can also do that as well. Yes, you can fly from the UK to Ireland, and that's your first point of immigration. So you fly from the UK to Ireland, you go through the customs and immigration in Ireland, and then your flight from Ireland to America is classed as a, kind of like an internal flight. So you go through that whole process in Ireland. That takes about an hour or two. I do know a few people, I've never done that myself, I know a few people who have done that and said, yeah, it's pretty trouble-free. It's all right, it's all right. So there's a few flight-related questions. If you've got any questions, get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at Pod Magical. Same place to go if you'd like to be a podcast guest and chat about Walt Disney World. So let's get to this week's guest. And this week's guest, B, you take it to the next level. Basically, your Walt Disney World obsession starts from the moment you wake up.
Yeah, some mornings I get up and just think, okay, I need to start my day with Disney and I need to find a blog or, you know, something or pictures to look at. And I think I set up my Disney Instagram account and that was just great because I just followed Disney accounts. And then it was just nice just switch off normality and just go back to looking at those.
So yeah. When was the first time you went?
I first went when I was about 5 years old. And I went for my birthday when I was little, and I thought I was going to Scotland. And I got to the airport and the flight attendant said, so are you looking forward to seeing Minnie and Mickey? And I said, I'm not seeing Minnie and Mickey, I'm going to Scotland. And she said, no, you're going to Disney World. And I just cried in the airport. So, but I don't remember, you know, as much as I could have. But then when I met my now husband, I said, you know, I need to go back. I just have to go back. So then we went back in 2018 for our honeymoon. And that was amazing.
Oh, and you've even, I can hear the dog in the background. Tell me what the dog's called.
That's my French bulldog called Stitch.
Stitch, yeah, of course.
And he definitely has the right name because he is so naughty.
All right. So favourite memory then from all the times you've been is the one single moment that you treasure?
It's so hard to pick a favourite moment from our honeymoon trip because we were just treated like royalty. It was amazing. Wearing our Mr. and Mrs. ears, much to my husband's amazement, and everyone just saying congratulations and asking us about the wedding, and it was just so, so lovely. And I think getting picked out to go backstage to go onto the Buzz Lightyear ride and skip the queue, which was great. And then we were queuing in the Fast Pass queue, I think, for Space Mountain, And this guy said, "Are you on your honeymoon? You don't have to queue." And it was just really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. He just opened this little rope thing and just let us go on. It was amazing.
Was your husband a Disney World fan, or have you kind of like brought him over to our side?
I don't think he was as big as a fan as he is now. He liked it because I liked it. And then when we went, he just thought, right, okay, this is pretty cool. He didn't realise how big it was going to be, and just how different it was going to be. And I thought his favourite park would probably be Epcot, but his favourite park was Magic Kingdom, so I was quite impressed.
Oh, okay.
He just kind of accepts my addiction now.
So where did you stay for your honeymoon?
We stayed at Coronado Springs for 2 weeks, and that was amazing. It was just so pretty. We went in August, so it was boiling. One day we said, right, okay, our feet are killing us and we need just have a little rest. Let's go and just sit in some shade by the pool. And there was no shade by the pool, and the pool was heated. So it was about 37 degrees.
So you just went and boiled yourself.
Yeah, went and boiled ourselves even more.
What else did you do on your honeymoon? Was there anything particularly that you wanted to do, like anything special, like dessert parties or a special restaurant or anything like that?
Yeah, so we did California Grill and watched the fireworks from the viewing dock thing, which was amazing. We first watched Happily Ever After in the park in front of the castle, and then we saw it from the observation deck as well, which was, it was really interesting to see that the fireworks don't actually come directly from the castle. They're kind of a little bit behind, which
they're quite a bit behind, yeah, some of them, aren't they?
It was really strange to see it from a different kind of angle, but that was really lovely. And we had quite a few restaurants booked, character meets and stuff, because it was our honeymoon and I wanted it to be special. So we also did Garden Grill, which I really loved.
I like that, yeah.
Ohana, that was so nice. They had gave us a table by the window at night, and then they dimmed all the lights and then the music came on, and that was amazing. That was really nice, yeah. So kind of special meals, and a few, I think I'd definitely like to go to a few again, but I've been told by my husband I'm not allowed to book as many because it's not our honeymoon trip.
So were you on the dining plan last time?
Yeah, so I managed to book it for free when I originally booked it, so that was really good. Yeah. And then the next time we were supposed to go, I thought, oh, I definitely, you know, want to get that again because we saved so much money. And it was just nice not having to worry about it and just grabbing food as and when. But then we obviously paid a little bit extra because we were on the quick service dining plan. Sorry, I should have said.
Right.
And then we paid a little bit extra for the restaurants. So that was our treat for our honeymoon, really.
Yeah, a couple ones that you wanted to pick out. So let's, while we're talking about food, have you got a favourite place to eat at Disney World?
I think probably Garden Grill. Yeah, Chip and Dale, I loved it. We went for lunch and it was really, really nice. And it was just, there was just so much food. And I'm gluten-free as well, so my husband was loving it because I'd get a separate pan of stuff all to myself and then he'd have probably two people's worth.
He'd help himself. Yeah. Was he helping himself to yours as well as the double amount that he got for himself?
Of course. Yeah, of course. And I think that's, I was really, really glad that there was so much gluten-free stuff I could have as well, because I always worry a little bit that there's not going to be as good things, or, you know, I'm going to struggle to find something, but they looked after me so well, and it was really nice. So yeah.
What were your experiences at the other restaurants being gluten-free? Did they have to bring the allergy book out everywhere you went?
I managed to speak to the chef quite a lot, actually, when we got there and when we kind of booked in, that I had an allergy. And then the chef would come out straight away and ask me what the allergy was. And then quite often they'd bring the menu over and talk me through stuff, which was really helpful. The chef actually brought it to the table rather than the waiter, so then the chef could kind of reassure me that it definitely was gluten-free. In Coronado Springs, where we stayed, in the quick service, I got to know one of the servers, and they'd bring me out a gluten-free cookie every day, and it was the nicest gluten-free cookie I've ever had. It was so good.
Were there any restaurants particularly that were better or worse than the others? Any if you're gluten-free, say, oh, I'll definitely go here and definitely not go here?
I think we had a good experience in most places. To be honest, I was really impressed. Most of the sit-down places where we'd obviously paid a little bit extra were better, and some of the quick services, and there were certain things that I knew I probably wouldn't be able to get, you know, like a Mickey donut or something like that, or the Cheshire cattail, which I really want to try, but I don't think they do a gluten-free version of that. No. I could be wrong. I was actually really pleasantly surprised, and I think being gluten-free for years, I've kind of got used to things I can't have and just kind of accepted defeat.
We'll find out some more of your favorite things very soon at Walt Disney World. And don't forget, if you are enjoying this podcast, make sure you check out some of the other podcasts from the Secret Recordings Network if you're having a bit of a break from taking your Disney holiday to the next level. To Baby or Not to Baby? This is where Naomi interviews a whole host of people to determine whether she should make the big step to have a baby or not. If she says yes, just think of the Disney stuff that you can get, all the little Disney costumes and that first trip to Walt Disney World. Search To Baby or Not To Baby from wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're delving into Disney Plus, every week we are going to have the Disney Plus tip of the week. I want you to tell me what you've been watching. Not the obvious things like The Mandalorian or The Imagineering Story or Lion King or Frozen on repeat a million times. Have you found a hidden gem? Maybe that film that reminds you of your childhood or something that takes you to Walt Disney World, like this week's top tip of the week from Ian, who sent me a message. Ian, this is brilliant. His Disney Plus tip of the week is the 90s sitcom Boy Meets World. Now, not every episode, because I mean, I think there are hundreds of episodes of Boy Meets World on Disney Plus, but Ian recommends going to series 3 episode 21 because it's filmed at Walt Disney World. If you want to have a look at Epcot and Magic Kingdom in the mid to late 90s, check out Boy Meets World episode 21 of season 3. Apparently they win a trip to Walt Disney World, and they actually go, and it was filmed there obviously because it was made by Disney back in the 90s. Boy Meets World is our top tip of the week this week for Disney Plus. Thank you, Ian. And if you found something a bit of a hidden gem, let me know, give me a shout on the usual socials: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are at Pod Magical. Same place to go if you want to be a podcast guest. And that is what Bea did, and we're chatting to her on the podcast this week, and her dog Stitch in the background as well. Talking about your favourite things then, go on, favourite attraction, what would that be?
I think probably a tie-up between Space Mountain and Test Track. And I think...
Okay.
Because Test Track's, from when I went when I was five, I've always loved it. And I don't know what it is, I think it just brings me back really good nostalgia. Space Mountain, when I was younger and went, I was too scared to go on. So our last trip, we went on it and I was a bit scared to start with, and I think I probably screamed the first time round. But then after a while, I just kept wanting to go on it because it was really fun.
When you first went to Epcot, did you go on the original Test Track before they changed it, when it was like the crash test dummies?
Yes, yeah. I still remember it being like that. I was a little bit, not disappointed, but I wanted to see the crash test dummies.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good, the newer version.
No, the Chevrolet stuff and all the trucks and stuff. Because I said to my husband, oh, you're like a crash test dummy and you have to go through and you have to do all the tests and stuff. So it was a little bit different, but it was...
Yeah, when you got there, it wasn't.
A little bit different.
What about favourite places to stay? You mentioned Coronado Springs. Have you stayed anywhere else?
When I was a child, we stayed off-site. So Coronado was where we stayed last time. I had originally got a trip planned for this August, but because of everything in the world at the moment, it's been postponed. We were going to stay at Caribbean Beach Resort, which we were really excited about, just because it looks really lovely. And I love the little beaches and the hammocks and things. It just looks really peaceful. And I love the entrance hall as well. If money was no object, I would say Animal Kingdom. I would love to stay at Animal Kingdom.
At the lodge, yeah.
Oh, it just looks amazing. And actually, when we did Ohana for dinner, I loved the Polynesian. It was beautiful.
So with your trip this summer, is that just on hold at the minute, or have you been told it's not happening?
I think we're definitely going to have to move it because someone in our family's had to move a wedding because of everything. So the date we were supposed to go in August, we can't go now. So we're definitely going to have to move it now. And I think possibly to next year, which is really sad. But
it's a long time to wait. Next year?
I know. I just keep thinking, oh, we did think about potentially changing it. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen, but maybe changing it to December. But then I realised it would be quite a different trip to the summer trip I had planned, although it'd still be Disney. And it would be, I mean, I absolutely adore Christmas. So Disney and Christmas is a dream, but I think things like not being able to necessarily do the water parks and the pools because of weather would have been, you know, not quite the same. And although my husband would definitely prefer cooler weather to 37 melting like we did in August.
And you're a teacher as well, so I'm guessing you're limited to when you can go.
Yeah, I am limited to the school holidays. So I unfortunately always have to pay a little bit more, and it will be kind of busier times as well. I definitely get I get my Disney fix by putting it in my lessons.
Anything else outside Disney you like to do when you're in Orlando?
We did Universal as well. We did enjoy Universal, but we're definitely not thrill seekers. I'm a little bit scared of rides like the Hulk and stuff.
So a bit extreme, the Hulk over at Universal.
Yeah, and I know it's not even one of the most extreme ones in Orlando, because I know it's kind of theme park central, but we did enjoy that, although we felt like we were coming out of the Disney bubble a little bit. So we'd kind of been walking around with our Minnie and Mickey, Mr. and Mrs. ears on and our magic bands and everything. And then it felt a little bit, oh, should we be walking around Universal with a magic band on? This feels a bit weird.
I often have the same. I'm like, shall I just cover it up? But then I kind of need it, because where else am I going to put it? Because it's my Rube keeper when I get back to Disney.
I know. And I felt like if I wore a shirt with Mickey on, then I'd get some strange looks.
People do. So you're in the wrong park.
Yeah. Get out. But we went shopping as well. Went to the Vineland outlets, which was good. I've got a fascination with America. I don't know what it is. I mean, my husband lived in California when he was younger, so he isn't as obsessed as I am. But I'm like, oh, let's go to this supermarket because it's American.
So had he ever been to Disneyland living in California?
Yeah.
To the original over there in Anaheim?
He went when he was younger again, but he can't really remember it. Which is a bit disappointing. So I said, oh, well, we'll have to go one day together.
There's an excuse to go back.
Yep.
Definitely. Any tips when it comes to planning? What are your tips? Anything that we've never mentioned on the podcast before? Or maybe use something that you go, yeah, got to do this.
I think probably nothing that hasn't been mentioned before already, but I love writing lists. So I write all of the parks down and make sure that I've had a kind of even spread of them all, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on one. And then
checklist,
write down my must do fast passes. I use a couple of books as well. I love Adam Hatton's book. It's a must read. From the vlogs and things as well, I kind of write down things, little tips of, you know, when to get things. I've got dates set on my phone when I need to do the fast pass dates and the meal bookings and everything. I think if you don't plan in advance, it will be such a shame, because you can save yourself so much time, and you can not obviously plan so much that you're stressing and don't feel like you absolutely have to do it. But I think it can really help, and it can help to for things to be a bit smoother, and just have a rough idea of where you're going to go each day, I think is really good. But then making sure to schedule in some kind of rest afternoons as well, because we definitely did way too much in the first 3 days and then couldn't feel our feet.
Then you drop.
Yep. 3 days in, thought, okay, I can't walk anymore.
Carry me.
Considered, getting a buggy.
Been lovely chatting to you and Stitch, your
thank
little
you.
Frenchie.
Yep.
So thank you to you and Stitch. And, well, I hope that next trip to Walt Disney World is soon.
Yeah.
Who knows when. But lovely talking to you, and have a magical day.
Thank you. You too.
If you love talking about Walt Disney World, you've got a lot of memories and a lot of tips to share, then why not join me on the podcast? We're looking for guests. We're here with a brand new podcast every Friday. If you've got a little bit of time to spare and you just can't shut up talking about Disney World, then we've got a home for you right here. Just give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, send me a message. Just look out for @PodMagical. This week's top tip of the week. Maybe you have been forced to reschedule your Walt Disney World trip and you're going to be going around Halloween or Christmas time. Well, here is a great tip. If you're going around those times, try and spend some time over at Fort Wilderness Campgrounds. Halloween and Christmas, they go crazy for decorations. All the cabins are dressed up. Some of these people have got these little carts that they drive around the campsites that they dress up as well. It's a lot of great fun, a lot of decorations to be seen, and you can see Chip and Dale. Every night, Chip and Dale have a campfire sing-along. You can meet Chip and Dale. You don't even need a park ticket. So maybe if you're going for over 2 weeks and you've only got the 14-day ticket you want something to do on, like, maybe the first night or maybe one of the early nights when you can't go in a park, join Chip and Dale for free over at Fort Wilderness. Make sure you give yourself a lot of time to get there as well, because you need to get probably the boat from Magic Kingdom over to Fort Wilderness, and then there's an internal bus that goes all around. So it's quite a way to get there, but there's a lot to do. It's massive as well. Any tips that you might have? let me know. Also, we're looking for those Disney Plus recommendations as well. Any top tips of things that you found? Any hidden gems? Let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you love listening every Friday, then don't go searching for it. Then just hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast from, be it Apple Podcasts, be it Spotify. Brand new podcasts every Friday. And if you've got friends who love Walt Disney World, get them into it as well. If you could share it and let them know, spread the word, that'd be great. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.